evening. If you found it, you're able to stand in honor of God's word. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, that's Elijah, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Pretty dire. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. I want to speak tonight on the subject, feeding others when we need fed. Feeding others and we need fed. Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight. Prepare our hearts, oh God, for the important meeting we're about to have. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak through your word again this evening. I pray your spirit would come in power and help us, both speaker and listener. May our hearts be receptive. May we be good ground tonight so that the seed of your word can fall on it and bring forth good fruit. We'll thank you in Christ's name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Before we get into the message, I want to take just a moment and do a couple of things missions related. I think we've let it be known two or three times throughout this year that Jason Lowe and his family have been on a medical furlough. Jason has had what they call long haulers. It's associated with COVID. It's where you test negative for the virus, but you have all the symptoms, and every bit of it Jason has had now for months and months, and he's been diagnosed with the long haulers. And he wrote letters, and I was aware too, talked to some of the supporting pastors that he was going to take this year as a medical furlough. And I talked with him this past Monday, and he asked me to read this letter to our church, Pastor Angel, members of Faith Baptist. My family and I are so very thankful for Faith Baptist Church. It's been a blessing to have been sent out of your church as a missionary these past almost 16 and a half years. During this time, we have seen the Lord do some amazing things, and our own personal relationship with him has been strengthened. I'm also thankful that Faith Baptist has not changed in its doctrine and standards these many years. With that said, please accept this letter as our official notice of what the Lord is leading us to do next. We have been able to turn the church plant over to national leadership. In fact, this past Sunday, which was two Sundays ago, not today, but last week, was their first service running things on their own. After much prayer and counsel, we feel that the Lord is directing us to return to America. I have been struggling with several health issues, and a pastor friend has offered an opportunity to serve on his staff as I get the treatments I need. This was not an easy decision, but I believe that the Lord is in it. Please continue to pray for us as we pray for you. I certainly do not have all the answers, but am looking to the Lord as we take the next steps. We are planning on being transitioned by the middle of September if we can get everything finalized. During this time, I'll be serving as a support and counsel for the church in Nassau as they move forward for the Lord. I will also be sending out a letter to all our supporting churches and individuals, notifying them of our change. Again, thank you for all that you've done for our family and for our ministry. And that's signed by Brother Lowe. And he is not a well man. He had some serious issues with kidney stones not too long ago. And they were impacted, as I understand, had to be dealt with. So he is battling some health issues. I do not stand in judgment of a man making a decision like this. I have no idea what I would do if I was in his shoes. And all I know to do is support him. And I told him that he's going to be serving at a church in Missouri with a friend of his as an assistant. And this will allow him to have the more accessible health treatment that he needs moving forward. I can just say this. I'm thankful for the 16 and a half years that he served in Bahamas. I had the privilege to go there. Many of you had the privilege to be there. You know, there was a solid church there. There's a solid church there now. And it's a blessing that there is a missionary a national man there to carry on this work. And don't forget that we've got a young lady married to a missionary over in Saipan who really the loaves were used to really for God to get a hold of Amanda's heart and call her to be in missions and then lead her to Josh. And so they've done a good work down there. And I praise the Lord for that. But I wanted to share that with you before you hear it somewhere else. That is the word. Now, I also want to take a minute and show you pictures of our missionaries that are coming through at the conference here starting next Sunday. We'll take these in alphabetical order. All right, Brother Andrew. First missionary is Carlos and Mary Chacon, and they are serving in Venezuela. Brother Chacon was reached through the Northwest Bible Baptist Church up in Elgin. He was a gangbanger, and God literally changed his life upside down. He's a tremendous, tremendous preacher. Carla, their oldest, is 18. This is Mary, his wife. She's about 60% fluent in English. And Carla, is their 18-year-old, is a student up at Providence, so she won't be here. But their daughter, Celeste, age 9, will be, and they're serving in the country of Venezuela. Next, we have Shane and Jericho Dice. Those of you that have been here over the years will remember the name Dana Dice and his wife. We've supported them since they started the church in Queens, New York City, okay? And Dana and his wife have been got to be 25 years now that they've been there. Difficult in what's called Little Jamaica in Queens, New York City. This is their son, Shane, and his wife, Jericho, who grew up at Windsor Hills. Their three children, Aiden, 5, Zoe, 4, Riley, 2, and they are going to England, all right? So they'll be serving in the country of England currently on deputation. Next, Benjamin and Bernice George. You will recognize the name of Brian George, who serves in Argentina. We support the George family. This is their son, Benjamin. He married an Argentinian young lady by the name of Bernice. Again, not fully fluent in English, but obviously fluent in Spanish down there in Argentina. And they just recently found out that they're expecting their first baby. He'll be working in Tucumán with his dad and Brother Larry Owens there in Argentina. And there's something in my heart for these second-generation missionary kids who grew up on the field and are willing to go back and serve there. So they will be coming in. This next couple is kind of in need of help, all right? They have to leave the country, the country of Costa Rica because of their visa. They're in school. They have to leave every 3 months. They have to leave for 3 days to get their paperwork renewed. And so they're coming. It just happened to fall. They're coming here. They'll spend Sunday, Monday, Tuesday with us. They'll be going to Zoom lessons for school in the morning, but they'll be a part of the conference in the evening. And then they will be going to Minnesota to see his family, take Russell up there. But we're glad for any hour we get with them. And so it'll be good to have them here. And Isaiah and Cherith will be in TNT next Sunday afternoon to speak to the young people, and that will be their speaking part of the conference. All right, so they are currently in Costa Rica, and language is about done and ready to go to Panama. Next, Thomas and Elizabeth Hector going to Guatemala. Brother Thomas was reached down at First Baptist Church in Clinton, Illinois, Brother Robertson. And Elizabeth grew up at Marion Avenue. I knew her granddaddy and grandma, knew her mom and dad. And they're on their way to Guatemala. They have two little boys, Charles and Oliver, and you'll enjoy the Hector family. And then we got Brother Johnson coming in, and he'll be here to preach for us. Those of you who remember him being at the revival a couple years ago. And then we'll add in at the last moment here, Clint and Rhonda Reardon. And, of course, Brother Clint grew up in this church, went to Faith Baptist Christian School, graduated here, we're off to Fairhaven, and married Rhonda, and they've been in Mexico City for a long time, long time now. And their kids are in Bible college now, and some of them have graduated. And so Clint, of course, was just in that accident we talked about this morning, and he'll be here just on Sunday and with us just in Sunday school. Then he's preaching in the Spanish church all day for them. They had a speaker up there coming in for the conference, and he tried to get out of Mexico into the States legally, and he was stopped and told because of his paperwork he couldn't get in for 5 years. And so he can't come. I told Brother Danny, just had to walk across the Rio Grande. He could come here. And, you know, they wouldn't worry. In fact, they'd give him a cell phone and transportation. And, you know, but if he tries to come in legally, are we messed up? We are messed up, I'm telling you. So he can't get in here for 5 years. So the next day, Brother Clint calls. And he says, hey, he said, can we get down there for a meeting? And I said, yes, absolutely. You got to come by. And he says, you got anything in September? And I said, September. Spanish. You know Spanish. So God provided a preacher for the Spanish church on Sunday with Brother Clint. So those are our guests. And again, are we giving out a booklet? What are we giving out next Sunday? You'll get a little booklet that has their pictures in it again. And so, man, be friendly. Be friendly. Make them feel at home. And we'll enjoy the time with these guests. All right, very good. Let's get to our text tonight. Feeding others when we need fed. So, speaking about our country, it's no secret that the economic climate in our world and country has changed again. And the time of great prosperity that we experienced from 2017 to 2019 has ground to a screeching halt. Many people have seen their financial situation tightened substantially in some cases. And who knows where it's all going from here. And when speaking of this time economically in America, I guess we could refer to it as, quote, difficult. The term difficult is a relative term. These may be, quote, difficult days, but whose lifestyle has changed dramatically. We might be doing less traveling because of the prices of fuel than we used to do, instead of just jumping in the car without thought and going somewhere. We give some thought to it. But, you know, from my observation, the restaurant parking lots still seem to be fairly full, and Amazon Prime vans are everywhere, and people still manage to enjoy pets and other hobbies and recreations and ball games and that kind of thing. So obviously the term difficult is a relative term, all right? I will say that I do know that some major companies are experiencing layoffs. And thankfully a man in our church works for a major company, and they laid off several management personnel. And he didn't get laid off because he's a good worker. He's productive. That's pretty important these days. And praise God. I did see something on the phone. I didn't read the article. I just saw the headline. Something about Amazon was going to see some changes because they had experienced some of their worst financial, I don't know, was it quarter or whatever? I don't know. I didn't read it. So you see stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is, people, we still have more conveniences. We have more luxuries than most of the world. And it's pretty clear that we haven't reached the deep poverty that Paul said the church members in Macedonia experienced, those at Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. Nor have we seen or been through the Great Depression days that Americans, some of our grandparents, lived through in the late 20s and the early 30s. On the other hand, food, gas, rent, housing, other items are more expensive than they've been in many years and maybe ever. Usually on Tuesday evening, we eat after I get done with soul winning. So we're eating anywhere from 7:15 to 7:45 on Tuesday night. So we try to have a larger meal early in the day and a light meal at night. And my wife, you know, I was headed into the church for the soul winning meeting. And she said she was busy and had an extremely busy day. She said, do you care if we do this tonight? And she held up a Culver's buy one, get one free chicken sandwich coupon. Said, would you be willing to do that tonight? And I said, sure. For you, anything, okay? And so, because I do love her. Amen, I do. And that's dangerous when you love a girl. But anyway, so I finished, and Trevor was my partner. And after I dropped Trevor off here at the church, I went by Culver's, and I said, you know, what do you have? I said, well, I got a coupon here. Buy one sandwich, chicken sandwich, get one free. And she said, is it fried? I said, it says any kind. I said, what do you want? I want two grilled chicken sandwiches. No fries, no drink. Just give her the sandwich. Okay, pull up. And so I pulled up and handed her the coupon. She says, $7.50. I said, no, I got a coupon. She said, I know. $7.50. I said, for a chicken sandwich? $7.50? For a chicken sandwich? They don't make, look, that sandwich better be made out of Foghorn Leghorn. It ought to be that big. for $7.50. I'm not saying we don't eat fast food. I'm not, but we don't go through that type of thing often. And $7.50, for a chicken sandwich, had a piece of chicken and a pickle on it, a piece of lettuce. And the saving grace was at least we got two for $7.50, not just one. But I was flabbergasted. And she says, yeah, you know, you ought to go to the grocery store. And, you know, we can blame the liberal politicians and we can blame the giveaway programs that they initiate, you know, as the real problem. And no doubt Mr. Biden has no idea what he's done with this student loan thing. He's just a puppet. His strings are being pulled by somebody else, folks. That man, there's no way. I didn't listen to his speech. That's been the rage, right? The speech. It looked like he was speaking from hell. The picture I saw of that, I thought, what in the world? And so he's not capable of that. Somebody's like what's the movie that's in? Sound of Music, you know, High on the Hill with a Lowly Goater, okay? So he's just out there. I'm serious. Don't you feel, I don't like him, but I feel halfway sorry for him. I don't think he has a clue what's going on. He just, and it's pitiful. But folks, look, we need to understand there's more at work in this world than Joe Biden and whoever his liberal progressive friends are. There's more at work than China. There's more at work than Bill Gates. There's more at work than George Soros. There's the evil influence of hordes of devils under the control of the little g god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. I'm talking about fallen Lucifer, Satan, the devil. But as Bible believers, we look beyond even him and realize that the sovereign creator God sits on the throne and he rules. The Bible says he rules in the kingdoms of men. If you're a consistent Bible reader, I think one of the blessings of that is some passage that you've read how many times and you're rereading it again as you're going through your plan or whatever you do. And what? And that's been in there all the time. But you just didn't see it. And I'm reading through Jeremiah, and I see where three times in the book of Jeremiah, God calls the evil, wicked Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar my servant. That's what he called Moses. He called Moses my servant. He called Nebuchadnezzar. Three different times. He called him my servant. He called Judah, the Jewish nation, my servant. So in the same book, you've got Judah, the people of God, the Israelites, the Jewish nation, called the servant of God, and Nebuchadnezzar, called the servant of God. You know what that, this world and the rulers in it move at the knowledge and permission of God Almighty. And we need not ever forget that truth. So while we're dealing with all this junk, we need not forget that. And it kind of becomes cliche after God is still on the throne. Yeah, but you know what reality he is? And he's ruling. And he even referred to Nebuchadnezzar as my servant. My servant. So we're on the precipice of a missions conference, staring at an economic situation maybe that's not friendly. And yet, church, we are not released from our responsibility to send the gospel to the world. Now, let me say without apology that even in difficult days, God's people who are willing find a way to fulfill their responsibility. It all starts with a willing heart. I'm not going to preach on that tonight. This woman in Zarephath was in a difficult situation. She was a widow with a son, an extremely meager supply of necessary food for both her and her boy. But she gave and she experienced God's supply. The woman met another's need, and through that, her own need was met. You know, maybe that's the way you ought to look at this missions conference. Instead of, oh, brother, it's, oh. Maybe that's how God's going to meet my need. You ever think about it that way? Or is it just this dark cloud, this gigantic mountain? We're going to hear this for 4 days starting next Sunday. Maybe God will use our missions giving this year to meet the need that He knows we're going to have. What happened here? Number one, there was a work of grace. There was a work of grace. I'm not going to reread the. We've got to get Brother Allen up here in a few minutes to talk to us about some of the things we're doing, the three special days. So I'm not going to reread all the verses. We've read them. You should know the story, especially if you're a Bible reader, okay? There was a work of grace. When you look at her situation, she was asked to put Elijah's needs before her own. Because Elijah said in verse number 13, make me thereof a little cake. Elijah said, me first. Me first. People, anytime we are asked to put somebody else first before ourselves, you know what it takes in order to do that? It takes a work of grace. It takes a work of God's grace. Why is that? Because that's not natural to us. The natural thing, what is natural, is me first. That's what's natural. And in marriage and in friend relationships and among siblings, in anything where it is necessary to put others in front of or ahead of ourselves, it takes a work of grace to accomplish that. And that's what happened in this woman's heart. Now, the churches in Macedonia, they gave to the needs of the persecuted Jews in Jerusalem. The Bible says they gave to them out of their own deep poverty. And in describing what they did, Paul said, quote, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. What was Paul saying? He said, you need to pay attention to the churches of Macedonia because what's going on there is the result of God's grace. It's not that they were just naturally this generous people who just couldn't wait to give their money away. That's not what they were. They were normal people like me, like you. What was going on there, Paul called attention to, what was going on there was the grace of God. Their giving was the result of God's grace working in their lives. They were very much like this widow, putting the needs of others before their own. And by the way, Paul did go on to say that they were delighted to be able to give. And that is grace, friend, because it's grace that changes people. Grace turns a habitual liar into a truth bearer. Grace turns a thief into a respectable wage earner. Grace turns a woman of the street into a sweet and honorable lady. Grace turns a drunk into a sober, right-minded man. And grace turns a me-first attitude into a someone else-first attitude. That's God's grace. That's a work of grace. The widow was asked to put somebody else first out of something she needed. People, she did not have leftover meal. She didn't have leftover oil. This cut into what she needed to live. Now, I'm speaking now kind of speculation, okay, because I don't check people's giving and I don't know what people make and I don't know what percentage and all that. But my thinking is most people give to missions out of their extra or what we call discretionary money. It's not budgeted for a particular bill, house payment, something like that, some utility. Most people give out of their extra or leftover discretionary money. But this is a time when that kind of money may not exist. I mean, you didn't budget the gas price. We didn't budget the gas price. Our gas budget blown to smithereens at the church here. And so it's cutting into the grace of God. So what are we going to do? What if we give out of money that may no longer exist? Well, I guess I just, the grace of God will work on our hearts if we'll let it, to find the resource so we can put someone else first instead of ourselves. And who do you want to take care of your future anyway? You want your financial future in the hands of the stock market? Seriously. Hey, you know, as God's people, this ought to be a no-brainer for us. The person that I want my financial future in the hands of is God Almighty. Absolutely. None of us are in the situation this woman was in. When God's grace reaches into our hearts, we can find something we can do without or with less of in order to meet the need for someone to hear the gospel. Now look, let God's grace work in you. Don't decide for Him. And to take the pressure off, God may not lead you to increase. I've not increased my missions giving every year. A lot of years I did. Several years I haven't. Last year I increased it by like $5. That's what I increased it by. I'm under no pressure. This is not a pressure thing for me. I'm just, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? The thing I don't want to do is stand in the way and decide for you what you want me to do. So there has to be a work of grace. So would you open your heart and let the grace of God bring you to a decision? Let the grace of God move on you instead of just figuring it all out yourself. So there was a work of grace. There had to be, folks. She gave away the last bit of her food. We read the Bible like it's a fairy tale. She handed over her last cake. Tell me that wasn't grace. So this is Old Testament. What do you think? Folks, listen very carefully. There has never been a time when the grace of God has not been at work in the hearts of people. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. The word grace is found in Genesis chapter 6 when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the church age. This is the age of grace. Like it didn't exist in the Old Testament. There was a work of grace here. Because grace teaches us to give and put others first instead of me first. Then there was a well of faith. There was a well of faith. Number two, you read that in verses 14 and 15. Again, I'm not going to reread it for sake of time. The Bible says there that she did according to the saying of Elijah. Well, okay. I don't think we should follow some man. But Elijah did not speak from his own opinion. He didn't speak from his personal experience. He didn't have any. Or some philosophical feel-good cliche. What did Elijah speak from? He spoke from the word of the Lord God of Israel. He spoke from the promise of God. And I'm not sure where this woman, this Gentile woman, got the well of faith that she had in the Lord God of Israel, but there is no doubt that she had that well, because there's something about what that prophet said when he promised it was from God that got her attention. You know, when somebody does something that requires more than what is normal, what do we say about them? They went to the well. They, you know, drew something out of the well. And they reached down deep into their reserve of strength and energy and resolve and determination. And they overcame the difficulty they faced. We don't need that kind of well. The well we need to reach into is not one of self-sufficiency. It's not one of self-determination. It's not one of self-dependence. The well we better reach into is the well of faith in God's word. The well of faith in God's promises. In the God who cannot lie. In the God who can keep putting meal and oil in the barrel. I'm not sure the stock market can do that. I'm not against investments. No. Use them. They're tools. Where is the well of our faith? It's in Him. For heaven's sakes. Not Wall Street. That's who it's in. This woman stared a starving boy in the face and gave his cake away to a prophet who walked up to her gate. She'd never seen him before. He gave her a promise from the God of Israel. She was a Gentile. Don't you think that she probably was tempted to say, "Sir, you need to get out of here." And all he did was he asked for a drink of water. Do you understand that even that was scarce? Where had he just come from? Cherith. What happened to Cherith? The brook dried up. Why? There's no water. So he walks up and says, "Can you get me a drink?" And she doesn't hesitate. While she was going to fetch it. I love that terminology. Fetch it. While she was going, "Oh, by the way, bring me a cake too." While she was content to go get him a drink of water, this cake turned her head. And then she heard what he said. "The Lord God of Israel has said, if you will make me a cake first, the barrel and the oil, the barrel and the cruse will not fail." She couldn't get past that promise of God. Couldn't get beyond it. She had one promise, and that promise did not include, didn't say that she was going to become suddenly wealthy. The promise was not that she and her son would just have oodles and oodles and oodles of meal and oodles and oodles and oodles of oil, and it's going to be running over for the rest of your life, and you'll never see a difficult day in the future ever again. That was not the promise. The promise was you and your son will have enough. That was more than she had. She didn't have enough. But that was the promise. You will have enough. The promise was that the oil and the meal would not fail. Lady, there will be enough for your need. And that's exactly what we've learned from Philippians 4:19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We've learned that as we supply the missionaries' need to preach the gospel, God's going to supply our need. And she could not create more meal. She could not make more oil. She couldn't do that out of thin air. But she put her faith in the God who could. And that's what you and I have to do. A well of faith is necessary. Not the kind of faith that steps out on nothing. That's foolishness. The kind of faith that steps out on God's Word. And those of you who obey God and regularly tithe, you should already have a well of faith because you've tithed when you didn't see how you could make it, and yet somehow you made it. And the same thing is true with giving to missions. That Philippians 4:19 is a missions giving promise. Not going to make us rich, but when we supply their need, He will supply ours. So there was a work of grace. There was a well of faith. By the way, if some of you don't have that well of faith, you say, "I've never done this before. Well, here we go. Jump in. Dig your own well. Dig your own well. And watch God do it. And God's not going to, you're not going to run around catching money falling out of the air, growing on trees. I don't know how to explain it. I can't explain it. Other than God promised it. You'll have enough. There was a work of grace. There was a well of faith. Number three, last, there was a word of encouragement. Verse number 13. I will draw your attention to verse 13. Here's the word of encouragement. Because she had just told him, "I'm gathering two pieces of wood, and we're going to have a fire. I'm going to cook this cake, and then I'm going to eat it. We're going to die." And the first thing out of Elijah's mouth are the two words in verse 13. "Fear not." Fear not. You know what Elijah did, folks? He addressed the emotion that would keep her from experiencing God's miracle. He addressed the emotion of fear. There are times when God's people experience His grace and they want to step out in faith, on faith in His word. But fear grips the mind and fear grips the heart. And I've said it over and over. You know what fear does? Again, it paralyzes. It paralyzes. So the first thing he did was address the emotion of fear. Sure, she was fearful. They were going to die. Would you fear that? If your boy's sitting there, you can count the ribs through his skin, and you got one cake and you're going to give it away, would you fear that? Tell me you wouldn't. And fear would paralyze her and keep her from enjoying days. Days. They did eat many days. It would have kept her, fear would have kept her from experiencing the miraculous for many, many days. Did you ever have a dream where something tragic was happening, and as you witnessed happening, you wanted to do something, but you were paralyzed. You couldn't do anything or say anything. I don't have time. I've told the story about the little boy when I was at Tennessee. We were clearing that field, and the tractor wheel, I turned around with a big rock, and here that tractor, big old tractor tire, the big old wheel of that tractor, rear tire, that little three-year-old boy was smashing him into the dirt. I turned around. That's what my eyes saw. That tractor tire is sitting on that little three-year-old boy. He's pushed down. His face is pushed down between his legs into the dirt. And I dropped the rock and I was trying to speak. I was so, the sight of it was just so, I couldn't say anything. And his dad saw me, his uncle saw me. And his uncle stopped the tractor and screamed for his dad. And it was miraculously, the boy wasn't hurt. He was playing around later on that afternoon. Unbelievable. But you know what? That's what fear does to us. I need to support missionaries. Why did Elijah? Why was the first thing out of his mouth? Fear not. Because that's the emotion we experience. I don't know how I can do this. I'm not sure. Don't allow fear to paralyze you when you know God wants you to do something. There are millions of people in the world who need to hear the words, Jesus saves. And God wants us to do something to make sure they hear that message. So don't be fearful. You don't have to be under pressure. You don't have to get an ulcer. You don't have to wring your hands and just don't be fearful either. Whatever God puts on your heart to do, trust Him. They who wholly trust Him, find Him. I wonder if she sang that song to herself. I doubt it, but what if she did? Every time she went in and kind of looked in that barrel, and more meal there. Got that cruise out of the cabinet. There's some more oil. Pancakes tonight, boy. Next day, they who trust Him wholly, find Him wholly true. Pancakes again, son. I bet she found 105 ways to fix pancakes, don't you? Biscuits. Man, oh man, oh man. Now here's the thing. At the very beginning of the story, when God came to Elijah there at Cherith, He said, I want you to rise. I want you to get to Zarephath. This is what He said. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, I don't know. I don't know how that happened. Did God speak to her heart in advance? I don't know. But here's the thing I want to ask you and me. Has God not commanded us to send the gospel? Did God not know that His people from time to time would face trying financial circumstances? 08? 2000? This is not the first time, people. Has God's grace not been sufficient for others in the past? Will God's grace not be sufficient for now? Now, for you and me? Yes. 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 It will. So I don't want us to come to this missions conference next Sunday with this chip on our shoulder and, I don't know about this. It's getting kind of tight. Lord, what do you want? So, church, I have a word of encouragement for us tonight. In fact, two words. Fear not. Fear not. Obey God. Do what God tells you to do. And this year's missions giving just might be your cake that you give away. And God just keeps supplying the need. That's how I'm looking at it. This is not a negative. It's a positive. Feeding others when we need fed. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll use the message in our hearts, prepare our church. I pray, dear God, that we'll not be caught up in the emotion of fear, panic. And it's not sometimes, when we look at this world, Lord, honestly, humanly, it's sometimes easy to experience that emotion. And that paralyzes us, keeps us from obeying you. But I pray that will not be experienced. I pray that we will hang fear out to dry and look to you, and that we'll obey you as you lead us and do a work of grace in our hearts. Thank you for your promise. And Lord, this just might be the ticket to punch our way to a future where our needs continue to be met. Help us to obey you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Somewhere throughout the course of the message tonight, something was said I needed to hear. Thank you for the reminder, the encouragement. I will not look at it as a negative. Look at it as a positive, and I will ask God to help me to speak to my... Can I see your hand tonight, if that's you, church, to enter into this thing with that kind of attitude and spirit? Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Music begins to play, and you obey the Lord tonight. Now's a good time to present yourself to God. And, Lord, I'm not going to fear here. I'm not going to fear. Nope. I'm going to have faith in you. Let you work in my life with your grace, a work of grace. A lot of you have got a well of faith. I don't know how deep it is. But you should have a well of faith to some degree that God has made true on his promises. He's made good. Open your heart to him. This is not pressure. This is not arm twisting. This is God lead me. God direct me. God, you tell me what to do and I'll trust you. Because they who trust him wholly find him wholly true. This doesn't end at the altar here tonight or end with this service. This goes into tomorrow. It goes into Tuesday. It goes throughout this week, throughout the conference, and maybe beyond. Lord, what would you have me to do? Remember the day when you made a missions commitment and how miraculous it was that God kept supplying your need? You couldn't believe it. Don't let fear rob you of that blessing again. He's the same.